B-Pod Studios.
And get a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. Just in time for weekend guests. Find great home savings at Macy's, the furniture destination. Savings off regular and sale prices. Exclusions apply.
Barzetta and Trey in the morning. Gargano and Martinez middays. Missanelli afternoons.
This is the sports voice of the new Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic. Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
Carson has no limitations. He's been working with the guys all offseason, and really looking forward to these next 10 practices with him.
Will you hold him back at all? Or
No. I'm not going to hold him back.
What was so hard? What was so hard about that? Was there anything difficult about just making that statement maybe a while back? Make yourself feel good, maybe a little better, maybe? That's all I wanted to hear.
As soon as I heard that, I thought of you.
As soon as I heard that, Bob, I thought of me, too. That was the teddy bear I needed. That's all I needed. It was a little, I needed some puppy dogs and ice cream. And then, of course, watching the actual video of Carson Wentz going out there and slinging it, hitting DeSean Jackson. There was a part, there was two parts yesterday. And, Trey, I don't know if you felt this in... I know that I've compared this to baseball players a lot, how baseball players always look forward to spring training.
Mm-hmm.
You guys never really look forward to OTAs or especially training camp, right? The real deal.
Oh, no, yeah.
But I don't know if you ever had this, but I was walking in the NovaCare complex yesterday, and you know, I park in the media lot, and I walk down the sidewalk, down the road, right, into the complex itself, and I'm walking down past the shrubbery, and I hear the field, I hear all the music and whatnot, and I'm just like... Football. And I am not one to just jump on an early football bandwagon of, oh, it's football season already. You know, I'm not that type of person because I've been a baseball fan before anything else, right? So I go down there and I just
fresh cut grass. Freshly painted lines.
It's the feeling I usually have when it's baseball season, you know, spring training or the opening day. It's usually that type of atmosphere that gives me the vibe I had yesterday when I walked into the Eagles practice, OTAs, right? But I couldn't wait to see Carson. I couldn't wait to hear from him in his press conference. I couldn't wait to see DeSean Jackson. And I got to see all of it yesterday.
I just want
to
be around him. Maybe we can get an apartment together. I just miss you.
Miss your laugh. Miss your Musk.
I knew it was coming.
It really it was a great vibe going down there yesterday and watching practice and watching guys just kind of get along with each other, be in the locker room with the guys. Oh, by the way, I got some breaking news about our quarterback, Carson Wentz. It's probably the biggest news to come out of yesterday.
And only you have it.
Only I have it.
Exclusive. Wow.
Exclusive coverage. Carson Wentz, not a Game of Thrones fan.
Oh. I would have thought Mr. Hunter would have been all about that dragon life.
Oh, that's a very good point. Nope, not the case.
Wow.
He said he watched the first 20 minutes of the first episode with his missus, and they bailed.
That's premature.
Yeah.
You know,
sounds like a little Netflix and chill.
He did not like the way it was going, I guess, the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a slow build. There's a lot of characters.
Oh, no, I was in from the get-go.
Yeah.
I was in.
Aaron Rodgers was pissed. Did you hear him about the finale?
Well, because he's in the finale.
He is in the finale, yeah. And he was pissed.
Oh, about what? How
the storyline.
Wait a minute. They didn't show...
I'll get the audio. It's pretty funny.
They didn't show him a script?
I mean, I guess he did, but actually seeing it and how it finished, he wasn't happy with.
You're going to run and blow up.
Yeah.
There you go.
He was not happy with the brand storyline. Because it is Wednesday. I think we can talk about things.
Why
now.
Do you think I came all this way?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was none too pleased.
I'll just say this. I went around the Eagles locker room having a little fun with that question. What'd you think if you were a Game of Thrones guy, right, or not? And vast majority of the locker room, Game of Thrones fans. Actually, you know, it's funny. Cravon LeBlanc and Dallas Goddard.
You have to say his name properly.
Cravon LeBlanc. LeBlanc.
Miss Cousy. I know that's Italian, but whatever they say in French, I don't know. But you took French, didn't you? What do you say? How do you say I'm sorry?
I'm not sure.
Vec sorry? I'm with sorry? No? Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, no je t'aime fumage. Anyway.
Je suis désolé. There's a reason I didn't take French for more than 2 years.
Yeah. So Craven LeBlanc, he said that he and Dallas Goedert are actually watching it together.
Oh,
they're both on season 6.
Oh,
but anyway. So
this is like they just go and sit on the sofa together and hang out.
Well, the best was
just watch a little Game of Thrones. You pop a little popcorn. And
I asked Dallas Goedert this earlier in the locker room, and
or kettle corn, Dallas?
Yeah, like okay, wait a minute.
Let me set the scene.
Judge.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not. I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
Well,
okay,
let's
go ahead.
I'll set the scene for it. So I asked Dallas Goedert.
Please set the scene, because right now I'm just
you have a bad one in your head.
Yeah, they're popping popcorn, sitting on a love seat, watching Game of Thrones
on the love
together.
Seat, feet up.
So I go. So I go. They both have their own
blanket,
own ottoman. I go up to Dallas Goedert, and I'm like, "Are you Game of Thrones fan?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm binging. I was trying to get ready for the last episode. It didn't happen, so I'm only on season 6." And I go, "Oh, okay, whatever." And he's like, "But I love the show, whatever." So then, maybe 20 minutes later, I see Craven on the block, and I go up to him, and I go, Craven LeBron. And I go up to him, and I'm like, "Hey, Craven, are you a Game of Thrones guy?" He goes, "Yeah, actually, me and Dallas Goedert are watching it together." I go, and I look across, and there's Dallas Goedert. And Dallas is sitting on a Rick Lovato's chair across the way from Craven LeBlanc, eating a burrito.
Solid.
And he goes, Dallas, you didn't even tell me you and Craven were watching together. He's like, "Yeah, bro, watching it together." And he takes a huge bite out of his burrito. And I'm like, literally, like sitting down together. He's like, "Oh, yeah, we watch it together."
Okay.
What's a little binging?
I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little binging among friends.
Exactly.
Hey,
nothing's wrong with it.
Hey.
Trey's saying they should be watching a film.
I mean, nah. I mean, you know, right now it's still a little early.
It's
their
leisure time.
You know, all right, that's cool. You know, it's just.
But nonetheless, I tell you all this to tell you that just a great vibe in the locker room already.
That's good. You know, everybody's happy to be back. You know, it's that time of the year. You know, it's your first. Real, like, all right, I'm back around the guys.
No, it's phase 3 of OTAs.
But it's still, like, you know, when you get out there on the field and get move around and can compete a little bit.
It's the first one that news comes out of.
Yeah.
Like, the rookies showed up, and you're like, all right, good for the rookies. They signed their deals. All right, good job, fellas. But then this one happens with Carson Wentz slinging it. And then you see him throw to DeSean Jackson for the first time. You see that happen. You see Carson, and we'll let you hear a little bit later, talk about how fast DeSean is.
Yeah.
You also hear Carson talking about how he's taking care of his body a little differently.
Okay.
Little dietary changes that he's making in his
life. That's what's up. There you go.
Yeah, he's also consorting with the enemy.
Who is that?
His name's Tom Brady.
Hey, man, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why not?
Usually, yeah, I'd be mad, but I'm like, no, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. You should definitely talk to Tom about what he's eating.
So I want to ask you this, Trey. A day like today, what's going on? A day like yesterday, the start of OTAs, what's the mood of the team? Well, what exactly goes on? Because, I mean, it's the practice before the practice.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much you can really make out of it other than just see a guy move around, be healthy with Carson. But we watched that last year.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, I mean, I look at it and I just want to see timing between the receiver and the quarterback get better.
Yeah.
I want to see timing of guys get off the line fast, right? All that stuff. Just the very basic nuances of football. But as a player, what would you look at for something as simple as an OTA?
Like right now, everybody's excited. The energy level is extremely high. Everybody is running on cloud 9 right now. It's all downhill from here. You know, it's like that first day, yes, all right, and then like day 3, 4, 5, like, all right, I'm, you know,
6 days out of the week suck.
Yay. You put this is a good time. You know, everybody's energetic. You know, you're moving around. You get a chance to get mixed in with all the guys. It's all timing. You're working on spacing, timing, and just, you know, this is where you start to sharpen the blade.
All right, so we have that going on, and it really was great to be down. It was refreshing. That was the word I can use. It was refreshing to be down at the Novacare Complex yesterday and watch some stuff unfold. It was just great. The other thing that we'll get into from yesterday is Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler, it was...
Guys are dripping with sweat.
We got into the whole lat issue with Pat Neshek yesterday.
Gave us a very valiant effort.
Then Jim Salisbury of NBC Sports Philadelphia, little sleuth that he is, goes and gets the real story.
Right.
From
I heard
Pat
it on
Neshek.
Andrew's show last night.
Did
I listened.
Ya?
Oh,
did
absolutely
ya?
Now.
And it was not that impressive, Bob. I was a little upset. Because I'll say this about Pat Neshek. I think he can only be honest. I think he's just one of those guys that doesn't care. He doesn't care about it, how he's viewed or anything like that. He'll just tell you the story. So we get the story from Gabe Kapler that Pat Neshek had a little bit of a lat issue. Then Jim Salisbury goes into the clubhouse, I guess, yesterday afternoon and talks to Pat Neshek. And Pat's like, yeah, I got the call late, bruh. I don't know what you want from me. I was ready to go into that game, just not two pitches in to my warm-up, which I get. All right, fine. So then Gabe goes a little further, digs a hole a little bit more by discussing after the game yesterday, after the 3-2 loss to the Cubs last night, that he was going to stick with his guns and the guys weren't available in the bullpen that he usually can rely on. So we'll get into all that. We'll let you hear from Pat Neshek. We'll read you the quotes from Jim Salisbury's story. We'll get into that. We got plenty of stuff to dissect with OTAs. As we know, Malcolm Jenkins was not at OTAs yesterday. It appears that nobody really inside the organization is affected by it. He wants a little bump here. We got Adam Schefter joining us at 8 o'clock today. We'll talk to Adam Schefter about all things Malcolm Jenkins. And regarding that bullpen of the Phillies, Ricky Bitalico on Postgame Live last night went ballistic. Bitalico goes ballistic.
When he goes in,
he's just getting warmed up. And he went nuts on the bullpen, called babies. I think a lot of the older school guys pitching, 15 years ago, whatever it was, Ricky Bitalico included, when he sees guys say, I'm not available today.
Well, Pat Dean, in fairness, Neshek did throw 11 pitches on Monday in his warm up. So. Stop. Put him on ice for a week.
Don't piss me off.
Put him on ice for a week.
Did you not hear me?
It's only May, Mark.
I'm in the afterglow of the NovaCare complex, and you got to talk to me about the 11 pitches.
11 pitches.
In a warm-up session.
He worked hard.
That he should have sat
pitches,
down.
Trey.
I know.
He stood up for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, threw 11 pitches, and needed the next day off.
He needed that because,
throw
it. Yeah,
it's tough. Wear and tear, cold.
Yeah,
you have to blow on your hands.
You got to keep the cannon warm, man.
Yes.
Need all
take
that.
The warmers off of your ears.
You get the jacket.
It was
you only
chilly.
Put one arm in it.
Yeah.
You put the other one like something funny.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
Bob, I'm glad you went there because, Trey, I went through the trouble of actually compiling the numbers of what these guys have done over the last 3 days or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I did it just to piss you off.
Piss me off.
I know exactly where you're going. I heard
not piss you off. Annoy you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to be able to hear the epic eye roll that Trey Thomas gives these gentlemen who are like, oh, I can't pitch today. So we'll get into that coming up in a few. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Also, like I said, Adam Schefter's going to join us at 8 o'clock today to talk about all things OTAs and some other interesting things when it comes to what happened at the NovaCare complex yesterday. 610-632-0975. Time of The Fanatic, 612.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
It's mine, and look at the time.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. So getting into last night's loss. By the way, there was a comment made on Mike Misnelli's show yesterday in the afternoon that was just nothing short of, I don't know. Somebody emailed Mike about the process. And I guess someone's in a reflecting stage, and the emailer was kind of talking about how the process was an utter failure.
Yeah, I did hear that.
And I'm like, I believed in what Hinkie was doing. I just didn't believe it. I've said this 1,000 times. I feel like I always have to say this. I believed in what he was doing. I just didn't think he should get 10 years to do it. Like, at some point, you got to win. Mm-hmm. Time is the most important thing in the world. And to say there's no time is nothing but ridiculous.
I told you, my favorite line that he had to me, not to interrupt you, Mark, but I asked him that one time when all the Colangelo stuff was coming down, he and I had dinner in Brooklyn. I said, Sam, but what is the timeline here? And he says, Bob, if I was made president of the United States and we were at war with Russia, I wouldn't look at who's on the front lines. I would look how our military schooling is going so that we could see what was coming up and what was going to be there for the long haul.
And then he finished that sentence in Russian. Because we'd be rushing by then.
It makes you wonder. Yeah, and it was the whole reason he was out, because they couldn't get him to give a timeline. So go ahead. I just wanted to back it up a little bit.
That was pretty deep.
I just wanted to back up what Mark was
saying
a little bit.
We've lost the war, and we now have a prime minister? What do we have? Yeah. What's Putin? What's his deal? What's the proper title?
I believe he's president.
Yeah, sure he is.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, I'm not going to hate on Russia.
Just what is, runs it.
What is 1985? I'm not going to hate on the Russians. What am I, James Bond over here? But here's the deal.
Dysentery's everywhere now. Thanks, Hinky.
Well, here's the deal. So we'll get to that a little bit later, because it's just something that it literally was on my mind on the way back from OTAs yesterday. It was on my mind watching the Phils last night. And speaking of those Phils, so I'm watching the game, and I'm wondering about the bullpen, because it came into question so much last night. And two nights ago.
Because you had, three guys in the pen?
Pretty much. So according to our fearless leader, Gabe Kapler, Pat Neshek, Adam Morgan, Sir Anthony Dominguez, and Hector Neris were not available. Now, Trey, I'm going to give this to you here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to give this to you.
I'm listening.
Pat Neshek pitched one inning in 3 days, and he warmed up yesterday. Not available. Yeah. Adam Morgan, an inning and 2/3 in 3 days. Not available.
Okay.
Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Let's go back to Neshek. I don't write this down real quick. What was that?
It was one inning in the last 3 days, and he warmed up yesterday.
Okay.
And he warmed. How many pitches did he throw in the bullpen?
11.
We have that confirmed?
Okay. Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
As for our purposes, yeah.
Confirmed.
Sounds good.
Bible. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
So that's Neshek?
That's Neshek. Adam Morgan. An inning and 2/3 in 3 days.
Yeah, 2/3.
He did pitch yesterday.
Or
2 days ago. Sir Anthony Dominguez, 2 innings pitched the previous day. That's the only one that I'll go, all right, I know how bullpens go, whatever, I guess.
And with how bad he looked in that second inning, I wouldn't have pitched him last night anyway.
Yeah, so that's the one that I'll forgive a little bit.
So you went 2 innings. Okay.
Hector Neris, 1 inning a day ago.
Hmm. Okay, a day ago.
Unavailable.
Okay.
So tired. Yeah. So tired.
Arms, man, you know. It's the little fine muscles, the little, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing balls as hard as they could throw it.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Okay. Well, first, your reaction to those workloads, if you will.
That's amazing. Should have been a pitcher.
You should have been a left-handed pitcher. You'd still be pitching in the MLB right now.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, wow. That's, wow.
Okay. So
it's pretty amazing.
I can tell you're holding back a little bit.
Yeah, but what's the salaries for everyone right there? You know,
that's a good point.
Put it this way, Trey. In my eyes, plenty.
Yeah, plenty. When you can say, all right, you know what? I did one inning 3 days ago, and I warmed up.
I'm pooped.
Yeah, I'm a little worn out, you know.
Well, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Hector Neris, and Adam Morgan, not that much money. Mm. But a guy like Pat Neshek, who has been in the league a number of years, he's making, I believe, $8.5 million, maybe $9 million this. Now, I can tell you're still holding back a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
And Neshek's pulled this at least once, if not twice before.
But this, and I'll say this, though. Now, today, yesterday's game, I'll look at Neshek and go, come on, bro. But the previous game, okay, 2 days ago, the one they won, the series opener in Chicago, I don't put on Neshek so much. But I'll get to that in a second. Now, Trey, you didn't play baseball. You played football, much tougher sport, right? The physical contact, the whole thing.
It depends on who you're asking.
Everyone.
Yeah, okay.
Football. Football.
Everyone
without question.
But Pat Neshek.
Yeah, everyone but a bullpen pitcher.
Yeah.
So let's ask a bullpen pitcher. Ricky Betalico on post-game live last night after the Phillies game. They couldn't go to these four guys that they've been able to rely on all season long because they're a little tired, and Gabe Kapler didn't want to go to them. So here is Ricky Betalico, former all-star Phillies pitcher, on this bullpen and how they couldn't pitch last night.
I still need the idea that you have a closer, that a named closer, somebody that could go out there every day. Every day, every time you need a save, you have a guy that can go out there for one inning, because you see the disaster of what happens, how Gabe uses his bullpen, is that, look, you'll have two or three decent games in a row, but you're going to have a blow-up game because you don't have the components to put together an ending of a game, which, like today, that's a game you need. Where's Pat Neshek? Did he get up yesterday and not feel well, and that counts as like a day that he pitched? I'm just, it's a tired act in all bullpens around the league that these guys can't pitch 2-3 days in a row.
Yeah, or
babies.
Babies.
Babies, he went, Trey.
He went babies.
You held back, great, you went babies.
Yeah, well, he played the position, so he knows.
Exactly.
He knows way better than me. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, you should pitch every day. I mean, let's go ahead and add it.
I understand where baseball's evolved. You know, I get that. I know that this isn't the day where Tug McGraw's getting two inning saves all the time or whatever. Nothing like that. But at the same time, your backs are against the wall against an upper echelon team. You need to have your best ready to go. And if they're not ready, then you're mismanaging the bullpen. Four guys aren't available on the same day?
Yeah, that's not good.
So mismanaging is a good way of putting it, because that whole Nishak thing, as easy as it is to put on Nishak, and I know we all have these ill feelings. I think it was last year he said, I can't go more than one inning.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Why was Gabe calling down there one pitch into the second batter and then looking to get him in the middle of a batter that quickly? And Nishak's like, I've only thrown two pitches. I can't go yet. Okay, if that's the case, what happened? That's what Nishak said. Why isn't Gabe walking out to the mound and standing out there until the umpire comes out and says, all right, let's go. Let's end this meeting so Nishak can get warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where was that? That's incumbent upon Kapler also. And then if he did have him up for 11 pitches, why the hell is he giving him off last night?
I have no idea.
And to Patalico's point, and I said this to Jamie in the 5 o'clock hour, not having heard Patalico, this whole thing with not having a closer is screwing everything up. You can scramble to get to the ninth inning, but they're scrambling into the ninth inning. Through the ninth inning, exactly.
I think Neris kind of is the closer, question mark?
Well, a closer comes out there every day on a closing opportunity.
Yeah, I know.
It's still closer by committee.
To the Nishak point, how the hell long does it take to get warmed up?
Well, he says he's the quickest ever.
I don't believe you.
Nishak
says
that?
Two or three pitches and your manager stalling for you should be more than enough.
All right, well, we'll get to Nishak in a second, because I have the story from Jim Salisbury as to what Nishak had to say regarding getting up so quick and being called into the game so quick as well. Pat Nambler, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Mark, Trey, DC, bro, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Nothing much. I mean, I'm listening to the conversation here, and this, you know, Nishak guy, I mean, he could have just stepped to the plate, and Doug was right. I mean, what happened to, like, being a good pitcher? I mean, now he's like a prima donna. I can't go in. I mean, it should have been in his teeth or say, yo, get on the mountain, pitch. Come on, let's go. I mean, he should have been right at him. He got in his face, did something with him. You know what I'm saying?
Who, Gabe Kapler to Pat Nishak?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so Nishak, and I'll keep you on the line for this, Pat. Nishak apparently said that he was asked to go up when Sir Anthony Dominguez two nights ago was down in the count 1-0 to Jason Hayward. So then he got up and threw one pitch. That's what he said. He threw one pitch and was asked, are you ready? He then shook his head no, and that's what the camera caught. And so he said, Nishak said, it looked really bad on TV. People were like, oh, Nishak isn't ready. If critics want to go ahead and criticize me and characterize me as a guy that won't go into the game after throwing one pitch, well, guess what? It was right after I saw the call, right after I got the call. He said he was good to go for Descalso, who was the guy who ended up getting the 3-run inside the park, little league home run, whatever you want to call it, and then ended up putting the Phillies down a run. So he said he would have been ready to go to face that guy that ended up putting the Cubs in the game, but at that point, Kapler still decided to stay with Dominguez.
You know, well, then that falls on Kapler's fault.
Absolutely does. And then Kapler, after the game, said that Pat Nishak had a lat issue. And it wasn't a lat issue. If he knew he was coming up in that game, he knew he was coming up in the order, who he might face, get him up and ready to go.
All right, well, then that falls on Gabe. And one more question for you, fellas. A little bit change of topic here, but who would win in a series? The Warriors or an early Bulls team, early night Bulls team?
You know what? I was actually thinking of that, Pat, and thanks for the call. I think the Warriors would beat the early Bulls teams, the first three that they won.
Mm-hmm.
But the second three?
The Rodman
99? Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Rodman, the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've thought
Kukoc
that was
a bigger role. You're going to put the worm
on
team.
You, and then you got Kukoc out there. Kerr.
Although
Ron Harper.
If you go Rodman and Draymond Green,
that's a good battle.
Yeah.
I wonder if that negates each other. And then it's, you know, Durant, Curry, Thompson, pretty much versus Jordan.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know how the Bulls would defend. I don't know how anybody defends
them. And look, I hate doing this, but different eras, right?
Yeah.
Scottie was a good defender.
He was. Mm-hmm. He was an elite defender.
Yeah.
But Michael Jordan, I think, like, only averaged, like, you know, I'd have to look at the number, but the amount of threes, like LeBron, when you compare LeBron and Jordan side by side, LeBron's numbers are a lot bigger because he's attempted like 650 more three-point shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Jordan didn't really shoot the three like today's NBA. Mm-hmm. So it's tough, but Steph and Clay would just shoot the lights out on him.
We got into the conversation yesterday about the Warriors and one of the greatest teams ever, like in all sports. You go across the board, you think of the Patriots, think of the Bulls, right? And like the last like 40 years, right? And you think of those teams. And, like, where do the Warriors rank? If you would rank them above where the Patriots are, if you'd rank them above where the Bulls were in the 90s, right? Like, the Lakers, Showtime Lakers and all that. Where you would rank them. And then it got me thinking a little bit about the Bulls and whether or not they would have won eight in a row if Jordan didn't step away.
Probably. Houston took those two, right?
Yeah, Houston went back-to-back, 94-95.
Like, I want to get in that in a minute here, but just still, I want to stick with the Phils for a minute as well. When you look at last night's game, and you look at Gabe Kapler and what was said after the game the previous night about Nishak's lat injury. Like, I don't doubt that he's bothered by some kind of lat ailment.
Oh, he's got a little tinge in his muscle?
But really, the story is that Gabe Kapler made the call late.
Yes.
That's the story. And now you have a mismanaged bullpen for... Now, that mistake affected two.
Exactly. Two, so he lost him last night, too, because of it.
I understand
he lost
them
last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, as much as I say that's BS, like, how the heck do you lose? Or how do you get up and warm up? And then that counts, like Ricky Pitalico said right there. How does that count as your day of pitching?
Yeah, how does that count?
Like, I have no idea.
Tell me you're going full tilt from start to finish in the bullpen?
And if I'm Kapler, I'm a little bit ticked off. Now, Nishak comes out and says, they called me after 20 seconds. I can be ready in a minute. I'm like the best in the league at getting ready. My whole career has been coming in like that.
Okay.
Again,
and that's
incumbent
on news?
Yeah, incumbent on Matt Breen, incumbent on Kapler. I know it only takes him a minute. I call down there. No, sorry, I've only thrown two pitches. All right, I'm going out to the mound. Get ready. I'll have you in a minute.
Yeah, what happened to the stalling?
What happened to that art?
Were they out of bullpen or mound visits
now,
at that point?
We're bitching about something. They did win the game.
Yeah, but it affected the second night.
It did. It took them out of last night. I don't know. That's a red mark against your boy, Gabe Pride, over there.
You just be like, hey, man, I warmed up. That counts.
As the leader of the Gabe Pride parade, I agree with your guys' assessment. So I'm not blind.
Where did the Gabe Pride come into effect here?
He was hated so much last night that I busted out the flag and I said, I will be the leader of the Gabe Pride parade.
And can you describe the flag?
There's not much to it.
Okay.
It's just a bunch of, just of us. You know, we present beautifully.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
But Coconut oil.
But I'm watching the game. McCutchen comes up as the hero. Chris Bryant is just crushing it.
He's on a tear right now.
He had a Chase Utley play last night, scoring from second.
Did.
Gene Segura kind of held the ball a little longer than I'd like, and he throws it out there.
I was listening to the national broadcast at the time until my wife was like, ew, who are these guys? And I was like, oh, this is the national feed. She's like, can we go back to the other one? And I was like, yeah, sure. But at the time, they asked Eduardo Perez, they were like, would you send Chris Bryant in this situation? He's like, no, absolutely not. Not in this situation with a lot of, you know, the hitters they got coming up. Sure enough, contact in the infield, Cesar holds it, and Joe Maddon sent him, and Chris Bryant just kept going.
All right, so and what's the deal with the ninth inning? I understand traditional baseball, the great book of baseball, right? I'm more of a situational guy, but the great book of baseball, road game, ninth inning, you don't walk a guy, even with the base open, right? They had runners on second and third.
I tweeted it last night. I was like, why aren't they walking him here? And somebody was like, well, not with the lead. And I go, but the winning run's on second base already.
Exactly.
So what difference does it make?
And the base is open.
Yeah.
It's not like you're putting
someone. And you get the force out.
Exactly.
You take the thinking out of it for your infielders.
Well, with this infield.
Well, yeah, that's a fair point.
They did you the favor and took the thinking out themselves. But why not load the bases there?
Mm-hmm. I didn't get that.
Bob, I mean, you
wait,
played.
What are we talking about here? The ninth inning?
Ninth inning, second and third. Nobody
they did
out.
Walk. They intentionally walked
Hayward. No.
No, before that. Before Hayward.
Yeah.
You got Brian on. Oh, okay. You got second and third. Oh, Contreras when he flew out the right, yeah. Shallow right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess because there's nobody out or one. I don't know. I don't.
Like, I'm thinking.
I don't.
I thought
that's
the same
funny.
Thing. Bob, I did the same thing in my mind. I'm watching it and I'm going, oh, well, because they don't have anybody out and you wouldn't have the double.
You know what?
And I'm like, no, you still have the double play and you have a force out at home.
It didn't fly through my mind last night as I was watching it, but it certainly does now. I guess my thought was, okay, you get the out, then you intentionally walk. I don't know why I thought that.
Mm-hmm. And look,
that's what happened.
It didn't end up helping them.
No.
It didn't end up helping them at all because they ended up getting a force out situation at home and they little underarm throw.
What the hell was that?
That was weak.
It took forever.
It was still in the air.
It was a bad route to the ball. And
Real
Muto
was like, come on. Come on. He's like waving a little kid home.
I'm waiting.
Come on.
Juan Nicasio, I don't know what he was doing in that situation.
That's got to be a backhand boom.
Yeah, and it was a little loft to home plate. And I know, who was it, Rizzo running, I think, from third? You can't get... Bryce Harper threw him out from
by
right 20
feet. Oh, yeah, what's this?
And you couldn't get the little underarm throw there any faster than that?
No, it was Brian, actually. I'm just looking at it here.
Oh, it was Chris Bryant?
It was Brian, yeah.
Well, still, you should have got him. The hell with who was running.
Oh, my God, that ball. It looked like a punt.
It was awful. And they have a win right there for the taking. And they actually lost it the previous night when they won the game.
Yes, yeah, so now it's 1-1. One they should have lost, one they should have won.
Exactly. And look, there was a couple of different breaks that went their way in the first game. I know everyone wants to talk about whether or not Gene Segura was safe, but he still tied the game, right? Mm-hmm. And JT Realmuto won it for you the previous game, the opener to the series. But then last night, you have another opportunity to win this game or at least close it out. And because of your bullpen not being able to rely on the steady arms you've been able to rely on, because again, four guys aren't available the same night.
Yeah,
that's egregious.
Pretty much your best guys. Adam Morgan's probably been your most reliable guy this year. I think Neris has done a really good job. His splitter appears to be back. Who else we got? Nishak, obviously, is solid. And who was the fourth?
You said Dominguez already?
Dominguez, yeah. I mean, they're probably your four best guys, more or less.
I just don't understand how the miscommunication happens where you have a guy up in the bullpen. You don't have a guy up in the bullpen already. The previous night, he throws a little over 10 pitches, I guess. And Nishak throws a little over 10 pitches. And now he's like, oh, well, that's my day of work. See you later.
Do you think he's protesting Gabe throwing him under the bus? I mean, I hate to take it to that level.
Well,
that pettiness can't rule out.
Well, here's the deal. Kepler goes
right. Injured. He's going, wait, Gabe, you're throwing me under the bus in the media?
Well, was it Kepler who said you're down? I don't know. No. Did Nishak go to him and say can't go tonight, or did Kepler say, I think I've overused you? You're down. You're down. You're down.
How does last it work? Night?
Yes.
Well, I don't. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, neither do I.
That was unclear.
Nisak seems like a baby. I could see him being like, wait, my manager's throwing me under the bus in public for something that wasn't true? Yeah, Gabe, my lat's flared up tonight. Sorry, man. I'm not feeling it.
Well, no, see, the lat was before. Well, obviously, the lat was after the first game.
But it's a convenient excuse to use if you wanted to be petty.
No, but what I'm saying is he wouldn't be petty until last night.
Well, the comments came out Monday night after the game, right?
Yeah.
So if he does his warm-up Tuesday afternoon or he's throwing a little session and he goes, Gabe, yeah, I got a pinch back there.
Oh, you're right. I got this lat thing.
This
I can't go.
Yeah.
You're saying it like that.
I irked it.
See, I'm saying that Gabe almost gave...
I got one of them there lat things.
Yeah.
I'm saying that Gabe almost gave Nishak the excuse of, yeah, a little lat thing so we don't let it go. He didn't say, oh, Nishak's lazy and didn't want to pitch.
Yeah.
Like, that would be thrown.
But if I'm Nishak, I'm going... Why are you throwing me under the bus, man?
But
I was ready. You just didn't call down to me in time.
But Nishak totally throws Gabe. Here's the phrase, under the bus, we're going to use.
Yeah.
But Nishak throws Gabe under the bus like, dude, the guy called me. And then 2 seconds later, he's like, you ready? You ready to go? You ready to go?
I bet because he was ticked that he was asked, hey, Gabe said you had a little lat issue. What's going on there?
That might make more sense. Yeah.
And he's going, oh, wait, what? No, he called down late.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a communication issue going on between the bullpen and
the
game.
How about you just
there.
Put on the uniform and be ready to go?
Oh, Gabe's lost in my locker room.
2019.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. But
it's a mess. You're right. The last few nights have been a mess with the bullpen.
I don't know what to tell you. So, Craig Kimbrell?
Yeah.
You know that's going to rear its ugly head all
day. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. Yeah. Somebody tweeted us last night and said, sorry in advance to all the Craig Kimbrell crawls you're going to have to take tomorrow.
Craig, you know what? Craig Kimbrell, he needed to be here so that Gabe Kapler could have mismanaged him to this point already. That's what I'm saying. He would have been off last night. It would have been five guys not available for the Phils. 610-632, half kidding, of course. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up. Now, you have this audio, Jamie, of Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
So Game of Thrones was all the rage in the locker room yesterday, the Eagles.
Yeah, with the spoiler window has been lifted. Today is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
We gave people to Wednesday. You can discuss freely.
Okay. There you go.
I ruled.
There you go. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you if you want to get on. Now it's time for you. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic 643.
I've got a nugget for you. It's the best jeweler store in Philadelphia where all the couples are going to get engaged. Golden Nugget Jewelers. Golden Nugget Jewelers has the largest selection of engagement rings and is the only store in Philadelphia to carry designer brands such as Takari, Verizio, Simon G, Michael M, Jeff Cooper, and more. Open 7 days a week with the best price guarantee. Located at the corner of 8th and Chestnut, right in the heart of Jewelers Row. Golden Nugget Jewelers is the official jeweler of the 76ers, Flyers, Phillies, and the official jeweler of the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, you can shop online at goldennuggetjewelers.com, but the best thing you can do is check out their beautiful showroom on the corner of 8th and Chestnut, right in the heart of Jewelers Row. Make the most important moment of your life exactly what you dreamed it would be at Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the Morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay, so when is it appropriate? We said on Monday, because anyone here that watched the Game of Thrones finale, do you go finale or finale?
Finale.
I'm a finale guy. Yeah. I feel like if you say finale, you're showing off.
Yeah, I go finale.
Do you say vase or vase?
I go Vaz.
Well, Jamie goes Vaz. He grew up with money.
I said...
That's what they say. You have money now. He's like, you're... Yeah. So you guys are Vazes.
I go Vaz.
Yeah, me and...
I'm actually a Vaz man because I didn't grow up with money like you like to tell people that I do. Hey, here's the funny thing about radio, Bob. When you tell people something like that, they believe it. Now people are going to view me as like a one percenter, and that's why it gets up my ass, because I am not that. I'm extremely middle class, extremely average.
Weren't you jet setting like in middle school? Like you were flying all over the place?
Yeah, I was taking my helicopter to middle school.
Just because your dad and Josh Harris are best friends, don't hold it against us.
I wish.
Sometimes they'd helicopter pool together.
Yeah.
swim through his pile of gold like Scrooge McDuck?
Yeah, Scrooge McDuck. Well, here's the question I have to ask, being an outsider looking in on Game of Thrones. And Trey, you're with me kind of on here.
Yeah.
So you guys invested all this time in on it,
yeah,
right? And Jamie, I think you said to me one time it might have been the best series you've ever seen.
No, that's Breaking Bad. It's still not ahead of Breaking Bad and The Wire.
I knew you said something like that. So did this blow it? Like, did this make you look back and say, "Oh man, what the hell was I even in it for?" Mm-hmm. Was the ending that bad that it justified me not even watching these things because that's my end result all the time anyway?
No, people are too dramatic.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I would never sign a petition.
Did I like it? Nah, I thought it was corny.
Right, okay.
Am I upset about it? No.
All right, so there was something very interesting. There was a movie, was it Jim Carrey and I forgot the girl's name from Titanic.
Winslet?
Yeah,
Kate Winslet. Oh, Eternal Sunshine's
Spotless Mind.
Spotless Mind, yeah.
And that movie...
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, that movie had an interesting question. It was kind of like, if you knew the end of a relationship before the relationship, would you still date that person?
Yeah.
Which was an interesting thing.
That was an interesting movie.
Yeah, so if you knew the end of Game of Thrones before you started watching it, would you watch it?
Yes.
Like, if you knew where it was all headed.
Because I wouldn't have gotten the Red Wedding. I wouldn't have gotten the Battle of the Bastards. I wouldn't have gotten the Battle of Winterfell. There was so much good before the finale.
Yeah, but it was such a waste. Because nothing happened.
I can't go backwards.
Yeah, you can't.
Nah, I watched 8 episodes. That's it. I'm good. You know, I watched the beginning of the season.
Six episodes of season eight.
Whatever it was. I was dialed in for those six episodes. Bam, that's it. I'm done. I can't go back.
So would you watch it?
Yes. If you knew the end.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking to myself, I probably would.
Wow. So it's really deterred you.
Because it was all building up. Like, it's all for building. Like, I get it's entertaining. I was entertained for, you know, 10 years talking about the show.
Right.
I got in after the second season. My wife and I binged the first two seasons. And then we finished and watched everything as it unfolded. So if it all builds up to that one big moment, that pinnacle, right? And it's all almost seems completely untrue to the rest of the entire show. And all of a sudden, it's like they just hired different. It feels as if they just hired completely different people to say, "Nah, you never seen just, this. Write something." Like, that's what it felt
and
like.
And George R. R. Martin did come out and say the book is going to finish differently.
Well, he's a good writer. There's a difference. Mm. But anyway, it was just, it seemed like it was completely untrue to the previous however many episodes, whatever it was, 79 episodes, whatever.
Have you seen the comparisons to Shrek?
Yes, I have.
It's pretty funny memes.
Once you see that, it's like, I can't unsee it now.
yeah.
A lot of it kind of reminds you of Shrek a little bit.
All right, so I went around the locker room yesterday and asked some players about it. It's going to be a bit we're doing for NBC Sports Philadelphia. And a couple of people, I'll tell you this, one member of the Eagles signed the petition to rewrite the show.
Really?
One member of the Eagles signed the petition that almost a million people signed to rewrite the final
season.
Who is
this man?
I cannot say. I can only tell you one man did. So Aaron Rodgers, though, actually appeared in the second to last, the penultimate, I believe is the word, the second to last episode, and was featured as a man being burned by one of the dragons.
Yeah, right? It was like, hey, there's, was that Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, he basically ran into an alley and like shook like he was on fire and then hit the ground. Phenomenal acting. So he apparently was not privy to how it ended. So here's Aaron Rodgers, spoilers beware, talking about the way Game of Thrones ended on Sunday night.
No.
Did you like it?
I love the show, and it was a great 10 years, but no. I mean, you come down to the end, and Tyrion says the person with the best story is Bran. Who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore. No, Jon had a better story. Danny had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Bronn, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story.
Well, who should have been on the throne?
I mean, I think Danny should have been on the throne. Here's the thing, though. Here's my last theory about it.
He gets deep.
If Bran, the three-eyed raven, who's, you know, all about the health of the realm, let's think about what he did. He basically wanted the throne the whole time because he's the one that told the Starks, knowing that Sansa would tell Tyrion, knowing that Tyrion would talk to Varys, knowing they'd scheme for Dany's death, knowing that would piss her off, which led her to be the Mad Queen. So he, the entire time, kind of set this whole thing up, and at the end he goes, oh yeah, I don't want to be king. Oh, but why did I travel all this way to be here? No. Look, I love the opportunity to be in the show, which most people probably don't think I was, but I was there. I love the show, but you know, the writers are also doing Star Wars, so I think they might have been a little busy this last season.
Oh, wow. All right. So you said I had to say that they were focused on Star Wars.
Yeah. One of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
Yeah.
Just destroyed them.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
Pretty funny, because that was good knowledge.
Yeah, that was way, like, at first, you know, at some point I blacked out. I'm like, no, what are we talking about still?
Well, Varys is a eunuch.
Yeah.
So,
Varys, yeah. Yeah. And also played by Joe Douglas, in case no one knew that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.